Hey, Bachelor Masters here. I don't know if you listened to our podcast last week, EZR, but there was some digital artifacting going on. I don't know if you heard that about halfway through. So I don't know if that's it might be my microphone because.
Like when it goes like auto-tune-y?
It just, there was like little glitches. So, well, if that happens again this week, I'll take a closer look. We don't want our listeners to have to deal with digital artifacts.
Can you put it in layman's terms? You mean like kind of like a, like it goes high and then it fuzzes
like,
out?
It was like, yeah, it was kind of like kick, kick, kick.
Okay. Yeah, Craig's talking about it in digital studies professor speak.
Right. Yeah, sorry. The digital artifacts of the...
The affordances of the digital artifacts.
Yeah, right. The affordances. That's funny. Okay, so the theme of this week's episode is that Zach is a total douche canoe. Can I say dickhead? Is that allowed?
I don't think that's really like a curse, right?
Yeah. Can I say dickhead? He's a dickhead to Greer on the
what the hell,
on the
Craig?
iPad.
You are on his iPad? Oh, on his iPad.
When she was like, oh, yeah, you know, I had COVID too at the end of quarter four when it was really stressful. He's like, oh, no, those are nothing the same as what I'm going through.
I thought that was good. I thought that was funny.
No, he's a total
I thought you were
dickhead.
Talking about him being mean to her because he didn't take her to high tea and didn't know that that's what she loved.
He didn't remember that she was the tea lady, the only woman who's ever been into tea.
That part I don't care about, even though she does have a tattoo of tea. That made me feel bad for her.
She does that about everything, though.
And it looks like the emoji for a teacup, BTW. So it's not even a good tattoo.
Well, there's so much here. I mean, she makes everything about her, though. You know, she's like, you live in Austin? I made a PowerPoint about Austin. I mean, this is her shtick. It's all about her all
okay,
the time.
Okay. So, yes, I get what you're saying. You're saying it's like, well, it's Greer, so it doesn't matter that he was a dick. My point is that he was a dick. Regardless of who he was talking to.
See, I don't think it was that dickish.
Yeah,
so she says, right?
Okay, let's role play. Can... You be Greer, I'll be Zach, okay? Ready, go.
Okay. Well, I understand how hard it is for you to have COVID right now because you had goals for this week, like I had goals for quarter four of sales when I got COVID.
Now, Craig, I'm the producer, and I'm like, Zach, can you talk about how... That is so not comparable.
Why would the producer be butting into a video chat?
Because it's the episode made the audience feel like you had COVID. We're stuck in an episode and we can't leave. Right. They told us at 9:10 that he had COVID. No explanation on why Gabby didn't have COVID.
Yeah, why didn't Gabby get COVID? I was wondering the same thing.
He got COVID at 8:45 p.m. and they didn't tell us for like 20, like another half hour. And the whole rest of the episode, I mean, so I'm sure someone has unraveled this mystery already, but back in the before social media times, there was a thing where they would do this and not tell us. And now we can totally find out why they wouldn't tell us the circumstances of COVID. Because he got it, what, before Gabby's date? After Gabby's date? Gabby's not testing positive so far. Why aren't they isolating her anyway?
So you know, I have a theory here.
Mm-hmm. But has anyone watched anything?
No, I haven't seen anything on this yet. My theory is, okay, I assume they have to have tested Gabby, even if they're not showing it to us for whatever reason, because it would be insane to not at least test her, right? In fact, they probably tested all of these women, and just for some reason, The Bachelor has decided, it's the same thing like when Logan got COVID last time,
right? Right, they're being all murky about it.
they're being so weird about it, even though, like, I don't know if they just think it's bad TV to be talking about testing, or I don't know, they don't want their, like, anti-vax audience to be upset or something. But I have to assume that they tested Gabby and they probably had all the women test and that they must have come up negative, because otherwise they would have either made Gabby leave or also quarantine at the same
wouldn't
time.
Wouldn't you quarantine even if you're testing negative? Because that's the deal.
Right.
I think it is safer. Yeah, but they're not necessarily known for safety. And my guess is that Zach was exposed and therefore got it before the date with Gabby, because apparently the lead gets sent on a different plane than the cast.
I assume that, yeah.
Someone on the plane probably had COVID, is my guess. That, like, that's where he, since nobody else seems to be getting it, is, like, he must have been exposed then. And magically, I mean, Gabby must have a great immune system, because she was kissing him before he was, like, showing symptoms.
How can you catch it just by, like, sitting near somebody on an airplane, yet not catch it by, like, making out all day on a date?
Well, it's not the not catching it part. I mean, she might...
It's also possible she just hadn't tested positive yet, but she was going to in like 2 days or something.
There was a study out by the NIH of people who just test positive for like the first couple hours and then never test positive. So she might be, you know, there's a lot
possible. Like, I've not tested positive so far for COVID, and I'm like, I feel like I must have had it, but it just never shows up when I take a test. It's very weird.
I just assumed Zach was anti-vax, and that's why he got so sick.
You're not allowed to be on any of these shows if you have not had if you've not been
vaccinated.
I think
he has to have at least the first
one or two. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm just making sure that everyone knows that, look, everyone on TV is vaccinated. Tucker Carlson is vaccinated. Sean Hannity is vaccinated. This is not political at all. I'm just telling everyone ever that all these people are vaccinated. Yeah. Including everyone on the Bachelor screen you see, including Mandrell, who I can totally see thinking something about that.
So yeah, the plane thing is my only like real guess for why nobody else seems to be affected so far. But it's also weird because with the Logan one, right? Again, no one else seemed to be affected but Logan in that, which was odd because he'd been spending time with all the other guys, plus like kissing Gabby, so.
Right. Well, they didn't even tell us, remember, that I'm blanking on the person we are just talking about.
Oh, Logan?
Zach? Logan, yeah.
Gabby? Oh.
They didn't even tell us Logan had COVID, remember? He just mysteriously disappeared, and we had to, like, look it up.
Said something, I think they only mentioned it once, and it was Jesse said it to Gabby alone, not to the other men, where it was like, he's tested positive for COVID. She's like, oh, F word, that gets bleeped out. But then they don't say it to the other men. So I'm like, they must have been told off camera, because it would be insane to keep it from them.
Right. Yeah,
well, enough. I also think Logan did not. I think at the time we also thought, and
there's
I still
also
think
a conspiracy
that Logan
theory.
Did not have COVID.
Okay, that's what
found him his way out.
Said that he did, but we'll never actually know what happened. But I feel like there's no way Zach's faking it, because there's no upside.
No. Zach, I mean, whatever you think, Craig, Zach is, if anything, I feel like he is sincere.
No, he's a douche.
Sincere is different.
But I never got to finish my point.
Go ahead.
My point was
you guys are pulling a lot of content out of this contentless episode.
If he is going to be a dick to Greer, then what's stopping him from being a dick to anyone else?
Okay, you got a fair point, but I don't think what he said was actually dickish. Is the
thing. It was. He was like, he minimized her experience, first of all. Mm-hmm. He centered himself. And...
Are you like playing the like extrapolating points like game where you're like, if this is true here, it must be true here. I don't feel what you feel. Yeah. And also, I'm not sure if you're sincere about what
he was. Look, how would you like to be on the receiving end of that call of that? What he said? How would you like to be on the receiving end of that?
So, all right, here's a few points I'd like to say about what he said. I think that he had to say that it isn't similar at all, because if he accepts the premise that his getting COVID, while trying to find love in a wife is the same as getting COVID during Q4 of sales, then it cheapens the premise of The Bachelor in like the producer's eyes, right? That like, so he has to say, this isn't work, it's love, it's different, it's greater, you know?
I don't think Zach's that clever.
I'm the producer here.
Yeah, Craig. But the producer's not butting in during the conversation. Come on.
I don't know. The whole thing, I can't believe you took so much out of what we heard was the video audio. You know, I didn't even see his face when he was saying it.
It's one thing for the producers to always be there and to be manipulative. I agree with all that. But it's another thing to like literally be interjecting between sentences of a conversation. That's taking it too far.
Well, this is so funny. This is unrelated, but it's not. There was an instance in this episode where they made Gabby repeat things a few times, different ways, and she tried to sound sincere every time, and they left both versions in. Mm-hmm. And I totally felt like it was, you know, we have to adjust the cameras, move this side. Gabby, can you say that again? And that might have been because I feel like he said the same thing a few times to Greer. He's like, yeah, but that's not the same. And then he said it again, kind of. And I didn't.
That's where the dickishness comes in. If he had maybe said it once, I would maybe give him the benefit of the doubt. But
that's where the producer intervention comes in, is that there's a lot of like, you know, you can't really let her get away with this. You can't let her say that. She's just a little, and she
anyone listening to this that is in sales, quarter four, getting to your sales numbers is extremely stressful.
Were you ever in sales? She's a medical sales representative, which you already know what I think about that.
Yeah, but I know people that are in sales and it's not easy.
Okay.
You have to meet those numbers.
Medical sales reps are also not like other types of sales reps, because for her to meet her numbers, she just goes and like flirts with some doctors or whatever, right?
Stop it.
That's what
one. Two, the thing I saw online when people were on Greer's side here, they were saying he was like belittling her career. And, you know, how dare he? What if her career is important to her? And I was like, we know it's not, because she quit to go on The Bachelor. So like, we know she doesn't give a shit about work.
I think you're being really tough on Greer.
Why are you on Greer? This is very strange. I feel like there's an ulterior motive from you.
What, I'm not allowed to support a contestant and point out not when that Zach one is being a douche?
Greer, you know, let's talk about Greer through Gabby's date, just to kind of keep it moving here, Craig. The whole time Gabby's date was going on, I was thinking about Greer. Like, what's she going through right now? What's happening here? But then I'm like, I'm being manipulated by Greer and her little girl face and her little boy self. She does make it all about her, make me sorry for her, feel sorry for her. And I don't understand how any date is anybody else's date, but I did feel like a movie moment where they're just cutting back to this person who's not happy about being home, therefore kind of taking it away from Gabby. Like, I feel like Gabby and Zach have something. Actually feel like they have something.
I got
something.
A lot of thoughts on Gabby too.
Okay, go. Let's start that there. But Greer really made me focus in on her. What are your
in
thoughts?
In a negative way to me though, right? The Greer tea thing. Like, I was rolling my eyes because she kept on being like, tea is my thing. I told this to Zach. Zach knows how much I love tea. And it was like, yeah, a lot of people love tea though. Like, it's not like a specific
tea. Yeah, but not everyone
to
has
you
a
thing.
Tattoo of tea.
All right. The tiniest,
like, you would not be able to see it unless she specifically
put it. It was like an accident. She went in to get like a full arm tattoo. And that's the first mark since she ran out.
Yeah, no, it is incredibly small, and you can barely tell that it's tea unless you'd have to like put your face up to her tattoo.
They had to know that it's tea. The whole screen was skin because they had to really show us this tiny. Yeah, I mean, it is tiny. So, well, it, you know what it reminded me of? Now, I want to talk about Gabby's date, but at some point I want to talk about Victoria Fuller's podcast.
Oh God.
And
oh boy.
I listened to it.
Me too. Oh my God. You guys have got me down. I don't know if I'm listening to Bachelor podcasts because of Chris Harrison or because it's Victoria Fuller and Greg Grippo.
Likes Greg Grippo.
Yes. Yes, I admit it. I wish I would have been this person in kindergarten. Like, everyone's like, ooh, ECR and Kevin. And I would like, yes, I like him or something, you know, been more like upfront about it. Anyway, they were saying, remember how they got matching tattoos that say chow? And it, Victoria literally said on her podcast, she's like, well, it's so small. I could just get rid of it. I'm already getting rid of a bunch of tattoos. That's how I felt about Greer's tattoo. We'll come back to Victoria's podcast. Let's move on with Gabby.
Sorry. It would be very easy to cover up something that small with something else.
Yeah. But Victoria said that she has a lot of tattoos she's already getting rid of. And it's like, dude, what's the point of tattoos if you're just going to get rid of them like as you go? She's not even 30, you know, or maybe she is. But anyways. Uh-huh. On to Gabby.
ECR and Greg Grippo sitting in a tree.
What? No, not like that. 20-year-old me.
Okay, look, here's my hot take. You're not going to like this. Gabby did not look good in her princess dress.
Ooh, that's rude.
Wow.
Very rude.
Yeah, you're complaining about Zach being rude to Greer, but here you are insulting Gabby in her dress.
She didn't look good. It didn't become her. Or if
what
that's
do you
right.
mean?
Didn't look good on her.
I thought it fashion.
Looked, yeah, I thought it just looked like a regular princess dress. She looked good.
No.
Okay, so you'd have to explain why she didn't, because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, she kind of has an athletic build. And I'm not
I was going to say that, like, she's a little bit boxy.
I'm not saying that, like, athletic builds can't wear dresses, but she kind of needs to do what Michelle does with her. She was very well-dressed, Michelle.
Right? Bachelorette Michelle.
Yeah, Bachelorette Michelle. And she had an athletic build. So it's like, whatever she does, she's got to do.
I don't know what Michelle was doing, but you think that that's what Gabby should. Well,
I did live across the street from FITM, the fashion institute here in LA.
Oh, all right. So you've probably seen like Lauren Conrad coming and going.
Well, yeah, they used to film. That was where Project Runway got started. I through osmosis, I didn't pick up like a lot of stuff that I probably could have, but like. I don't know what Gabby needed to be wearing. I'm not smart enough to know how to replace what she was wearing with what she should be wearing.
So I will say one thing that I think would have improved the overall look. And that's that I think she should have put her hair up. Because it was down, which she seems like she always wears it down. And I know for some people it's like, oh, that's how I think it looks best, you know. But when you're wearing a fancy dress, I feel like you want an updo normally, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like an updo would have improved the overall look. But I also think that kind of like deep V in the front looks better on athletic or smaller chested people. Because if you're too busty, you're just like falling out of that. You know,
well, I get what Craig is saying, though. I think broad shoulders are kind of, like maybe more square, like rectangle shaped people need. Maybe either to accentuate shoulders or to kind of make them go away. And that highlights them.
Ooh, ECR is agreeing with Craig.
Yeah, but
that's a new one.
I'm agreeing with you, but I didn't think, to me, if someone walked in like that, I'm like, look, they feel comfortable. That's all that matters. Like, I would not think that looks bad or not good on her. But in terms of, I generally agree that she probably could have picked a better outfit for herself. But yeah. I mean, it
but she didn't really pick that one. Also, like
Zach's eyeballs,
right?
Did.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, he was like, "Oh, that's the best one." So you know, she's wearing that one no matter what.
I think her. I don't know if her hair is naturally black, but her dark hair with her lighter skin and that color goes well together. And I think that's what he saw. He didn't look at builds, you know.
I don't know. I don't think the blue looked good, particularly.
Well, it also
her.
Matched his it also matched his tuxedo, which was
yes.
Blue. Yeah, that's true.
I think he also, like, blue is maybe his favorite color or something. He's got, like, a partiality to blue. But I do think the color looked good on her skin tone and hair color. I also think that the dressy, like, dressing up the hair would have probably made the whole thing look more dressy in general.
Yeah. Well, you know, now that we're talking about, even though we're talking about fashion, I also think we're talking about body types. I think, despite me thinking about Greer the entire time, in terms of, like, if I was, you know, the narrator of the state, I would keep cutting back to Greer. And if I was Greer, I keep thinking about the date. And if I was Gabby or Zach, I would kind of be like, well, you know, watching this, yikes. She, it feels like both Gabby and Zach have something really huge in common, like very huge. And here's a kind of a clip of them referencing it.
You made me feel so pretty by just like the way you looked at me. So thank you.
You, like, Gabby, like so beautiful, like, it's insane. But, like, I'm happy that you felt that because, like, I'm not always great with my words, I guess, too. Like, I'm like, oh, I dig that dress. No, it means, like, I really, dress aside, like, I really, like, see you for you. Like, I, was it a long relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, things that happened that, like, made me feel, like, not confident in myself.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I lost a little bit of myself during that. And that was very hard for me.
Yeah. You know, I know, I understand, like, it's difficult sharing that. And like, I used to have problems when I was really insecure about myself, like, with whatever it was, like body weight, self-image.
God, turn that off.
It's off.
I can't take anymore, man.
Jeez. Wow, Craig. Seems like you hate this show.
I had a 2-year relationship that didn't end well, and it hurt. She didn't even say it hurt her confidence. She didn't go, and it hurt my confidence. She went like, oh, and it's sort of a little bit tiny amount hurt my confidence a little.
It kind of sounds like both of them have gone through self-image or like losing weight issues, and that
yes.
is huge because... If you, I tell you, like, there's a few things that connect people a lot. And if you're both wake up at 4 a.m. and run together, oh my gosh, that is like a perfect relationship. I'm not saying it's my perfect relationship. I'm saying it is a perfect relationship for two people. Because Greer looks like a 10 a.m. waker upper, if she can. 12 a.m.
Hey, that's my kind of
exactly,
kind of person.
But Zach, that will bring him down, you know, because he needs a lot of like... people who have gone through self-image up and downs and mostly related to weight, they need a lot of structure because or else they will get depressed about it. So I think that if anything, this date showed me that they are really good for each other and hopefully he picks her.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I thought of a different compatibility thing with them, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense because Zach's sob story on his one-on-one back on the Gabby and Rachel season was about self-confidence and body image because of having to, you know, he was larger and then he lost a bunch of weight and, you know, had all these issues around that. So I think it hit a specific note with him. When somebody says something like that, he's like, oh, I completely, like, I very much relate. But I also thought that they had a lot of compatibility with sort of their senses of humor and goofiness. Seemed like they were on the same wavelength.
Oh, yeah. Gabby is, I mean, we've seen it from her when she was on some group date. She's very funny. She's very irreverent. Like, she has this cutesy way of being. Oh, Craig, You don't notice women at all.
Yes,
you
know? I do.
He really doesn't.
I do.
Gabby is really clever and funny. Yeah, and
we've seen so much of her.
I have.
I mean, we saw like 45 minutes of her last night.
I absolutely have. And she's really, I think she would be like, there's very few people on the show that I would be like, I'd be her friend. I would like to be Gabby's friend. Like, she's really fun. She's like the other Gabby. She's like Bachelorette Gabby. You know?
She is nothing like Bachelorette Gabby. Where are you getting this from?
My goodness, Craig. Are we watching the same show?
Yes, we are watching the same Gabby show. And yes, I see women.
Gabby is really funny. Both of them. Do you think Bachelorette Gabby was really funny during Colton's season? I mean, Clayton. Whatever.
She was, like, funny in a cute way.
Right? That's in retrospect.
Like, she wasn't like, oh, I want to go watch her do stand-up. Funny.
Yeah, Craig. Of course not. That's not what
Katie, Bachelorette Katie, is doing stand-up. If you follow her,
yes, Instagram. I'm aware.
No, she's not funny like that. There's obviously a huge difference between like a funny person and like someone who should do it for a living. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would say most people who you would say like that's a funny person.
I don't see where
you're
getting
professional comedian.
Gabby saying, "Oh, this is like our first baby." That is not funny.
It's cute. They are cute together and they work well together. And she is actually, I don't know, she's especially compared. No, I'm not even going to tell you especially, but I'm saying in general, especially compared to other women on The Bachelor, she has personality for sure.
Okay, that I might agree with to some extent. Compared to other women on The Bachelor.
I didn't even want to say that because I'm not trying to water down my point. She is funny and she has personality and she's interesting, period. But it extra shows compared to other women on the show.
Okay, look, we could argue this all day. Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. Anything else about Gabby's date, though?
I would say the one thing that I was jealous of in that date was when they rolled around on the floor with the corgis.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I would like to do that, actually. Please bring me a room full of corgis to hang out with.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with corgis.
Yeah, don't like breeds of dogs.
Yeah, well, you don't really like dogs.
I don't like dogs. But if I, you know,
What if it was a room full of cats?
That'd be cuter, but I'm still kind of like, well, you know, poop and licking their butts. I've changed a lot. I used to not care. Now I really care about poop and stuff. Gotcha though. Yeah, no, they had anyone would like that date, Greer. Anyone. Like, believe me.
Yeah.
There's not one person who would be like, oh, no, making perfumes would make me sick. I do not want to roll around with dogs. I do like tea, but I don't want to get into fancy dresses. So
yeah, the date every woman on this season wants, because it's the one where you get a bunch of free clothes.
Yeah.
All right, here's what
Ezra
would
Brown
want.
Date. Mm-hmm.
So Ezra would want this. Instead of perfume, it would be sampling beers at a brewery. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then instead of rolling around with corgis, it would be rolling around in a sound bath. And then instead of getting dresses, it would be going to Hot Topic and picking out concert shirts.
Hot Topic? I've never gone to Hot Topic. I mean, I've gone in
don't
there.
Don't you wear like KMFDM shirts and stuff like that?
I don't know that. No, Craig.
You wear black concert type shirts.
That is true for the most part, but I do not wear. Craig, you know what you're. You
I
know
think
what
those, your three, were, those three were pretty
be?
On.
You
those,
know what?
How? No, give me a percentage. I was pretty close.
My 30%.
What?
Yeah, it's a good thing because you did three things, so that's your 1/3 right.
I thought I did pretty well.
Okay. Let me say Craig's favorite date. Let's see. You sit on the couch and you watch reruns on TBS.
No.
And then you. you get on the bus that just meets you right in front of your house. You do not have to wait at a bus stop. You do not have to do the actual bus thing that most people have to do.
Yeah, well, you look out the window and you know when the bus is coming and then you run down and catch it.
Yeah, like you sound like a, you know, like a song or something. And then you go somewhere where there's a bigger couch and a bigger TV to watch TBS on at like Pershing Squares.
Well, what kind of clothes would I pick out?
What would you eat? And then, would you have beer? No, okay, you would be wearing cargo pants, but then you'd go somewhere where you get different kinds of cargo pants.
Yeah, you go to like REI.
Yeah, go to REI. That's a good date.
Oh, yeah, you go to Patagonia.
Yeah, Patagonia is cool, too. Yeah.
Anyways, the point is that this is the Hannah Brown date. This is a woman they want to highlight, whether she gets picked or whether she is important to the franchise in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just like her, period, because she doesn't have the huge sob story or anything, but maybe they just like her. But
She's the next of producers for sure, which either means like she's going to be going super far on this season, I think. Top four for sure. And then either she's the winner or she might be the Bachelorette, or they like think she's going to be a huge star on Paradise or something.
She'd be the next Becca Kufrin if she was Bachelorette.
Ooh, that's them's fighting words.
Mark my words.
What does that mean? Oh, she's I think she's a hit with guys. I would think she's a hit.
I don't think so. All right. If you say
we'll be right back after these commercials.
Yeah, let's take a commercial break and play an ad from another cool podcast on the Bridge Burner Podcast Collective. Here we go.
Do you like pilots?
Do you hate pilots?
Are you indifferent to pilots?
Have you ever met a pilot?
Have you ever flown your own plane?
They get uploaded. They're uploaded to YouTube.
They're all on YouTube. They're right there, just for you.
They're for free. Nobody's watching them.
Why would you watch them? But guess what? There's two people that love to watch them. It's Stuart and Joe.
We watch them so you don't have to.
We're putting in the work.
We've got cow people. We've got reincarnated dogs. We've got wizard superheroes. We've got extremely short private investigators. Hobo probate law.
We've got a dog with the brain of a man. And a man with the brain of a dog.
We tell you not only what happens, why it happened, who it happened to, what happened after.
And why it stinks.
So come watch Piloting Error. People don't watch it.
Come stand behind me in my basement while we make the show. Could you bring me another beer?
What's the network?
Only on the Bridge Burner Collective.
Wherever find podcasts.
Wherever you're getting your podcasts.
And we're back.
So I actually have, not to keep on talking about Gabby's date forever, I just had a few other small things I wanted to bring up because I thought they were kind of funny. So there was a real royal theme going on here, right? With like the royal perfumers and that butler who has worked for King Charles. And especially with the butler, what a come down, right? Like he used to work for either the most powerful or second most powerful royal, depending on when he worked for him, right? And now he's the butler to the bachelor and one of his dates on TV. Like, wow.
I sort of got the sense he was like, I keep saying like, I'm sorry. I kind of got the sense that he was,
that makes it better. Thanks. God. Thanks for.
I can't think straight. Uh-huh. That he was maybe starting a company that around butlering and like maybe like a butler school or something like that.
Oh, so he's like trying to get publicity or something.
Yeah.
That
was the sense I got.
This makes more sense because between him and the perfume guy who his face looked pained at times.
He was so not there. He was so upset. He's like, this is the most American thing in a negative way. He looking at us.
Yeah, but think about how not enjoying his time. He does that.
He was definitely very like fourth wall breaking where he was just kind of like looking at us as the audience upset, that this is his life now.
Like, do you see what I have to put up with? Do you see what these American tourists do to me?
Oof. Let's see. The royal family shouldn't exist. And I mean, I don't really. Yeah, okay. It's all kind of ridiculous.
Well, like, well, what were some of the other things, Caitlin?
No, those are the main things. But I did think about how, you know, they kept on hammering home, like, the royal family has also used this. And I was like, yeah, but, like, the royal family is insanely unpopular right now. They're the least popular they've been since, what, like, World War One or something?
Since Henry VIII.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I mean, maybe I guess most Americans don't follow it as closely or whatever, so they just still think, like, ooh, royalty. But I feel like, yeah, their cachet has gone down pretty significantly and no longer seems nearly as, you know, like, oh, wow, the royals. One, and two, I know this from when I went to London when I was, like, 19 for the first time, that, you know, whenever they'd be like, this is the Queen's Own chocolatier. This is the Queen's Own tea shop. And it was like, yeah, she just gives that label. It doesn't mean she actually uses them.
Yeah.
It's just she can select, you know, it's like this business gets to put that on their stuff. It doesn't matter if they actually like patronize the business or not. It's like a commercial thing that they just do as a family. So I'm like, yeah, it doesn't mean that the Queen also has sat here with this man smelling things and making a perfume. And yeah, the whole thing, like, Izar's right. Also, the royal family sucks and shouldn't exist. So
it's also kind of like, why would my goal as someone who's like at the same age as the kids, you know, the kids that are having kids now, be to marry someone who has all these genetic deficiencies? Like, I am very scared. Like, when you look at the royal bloodline, you're like, so that's why you have, well, I mean, yeah. Centuries and centuries of inbreeding have, like, it would be a very hard trade-off for me to be like, never touch another dish again versus having my passing on genetic diseases that I do not have to my kids.
That'd like, be, you know, they might have that trait for, what is it, that bleeding disease?
Right, the, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but you most people would choose not having to touch a plate again.
That is what's wrong with society, Craig. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. Genetic diversity is what makes humans survive. Right. And so, anyway, okay, on to different things. Different things.
So the group date, and which, you know, whatever, we can talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I will say it is rude that both for the group date, daytime and evening portion, they let them get like all dressed up and then delivered a note saying that Zach wasn't coming, because I think it was Kylie who was like, oh, I would have dressed more warmly and less sexy if I knew Zach wasn't going to be here.
Right. Yeah, they knew he had COVID, and yet they still made them go through with it. That's pretty funny.
I mean, I still see the women crying for airtime versus Zach himself. I still kind of don't see it.
Because especially several of them made these comments like, we know the minute they said Zach is feeling under the weather and he can't come, I was like, well, it's obviously COVID. I don't know if the women assumed that or not, but a lot of them were acting like that he was being a jerk, right? Like, it was like, I can't believe he stood us up. Like, I'm running out of patience for him with this. And I was like, buddy, he has a communicable disease. Like, so it just was so weird to me the way, like, nobody was like, oh, wow, like, that sucks. I hope he gets better soon or whatever. It was like, how dare he not give us his time? And like, was it Brooklyn maybe who said like he wasn't too sick last night to stay up with Gabby?
Well, Brooklyn said something like, she was like, well, what are we all going to do now? I don't know. It was just kind of a funny way of putting it that.
Yeah, it just was interesting to me that nobody was like, oh, no, he must be really sick if he has to miss this thing. And like, how serious is it? Is this going to derail everything this week? Instead, they were just like, he's standing us up. I can't believe this.
Here's them not missing Zach.
Zach being sick is totally out of my control. So, like, me being upset, like, what is that going to do?
I think you have to make the most out of any experience that you have.
There's a few more where they're like, we acted pouty on camera long enough.
Yeah.
Time to party it up. And I generally agree, except for the fact that, again, I think they're finally getting a little bit into him, some of them. But it's, again, it's the camp, it's the summer camp effect where they're like the only dude here. Okay.
Well, it was good. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just I can have a crush on him is what I'm thinking they're thinking. It was a good what? No, right. they're finally getting some of them are finally interested in him. But like it's so small, you know, the amount of interest.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. Mm. I was just going to say that it was a good advertisement for beer. Because before they had beer, it was like, oh, this blows. It's raining and they hate life. And then after they had beer, they're like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, this was like an IPA commercial.
Yeah.
It was like the Fanta commercials where they're like, what are we doing? Nothing. And then soda comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did also find it interesting how basically every single one of the women needed to do a British accent for a while. They needed to do it. It was required.
That's why you go to England.
Ugh. No, I mean, I could do without them doing this.
Done
British
one
accent.
Because I know I wouldn't be able to do it well. But like, they're so. And in the closing tag, when you see Greer trying to get the bartender to tell her that she has a good accent, and the bartender's like, no.
Oh, it's so Americans trying to do. I don't know why British are so good at doing American accents. Maybe because they let go of their pretenses when they do it. But Americans,
it's like their inner id or whatever.
Yeah, Americans trying to do British accents is like the worst. I don't want to be around that. I think I told you guys a story where I have an American friend. We were in London, and she wasn't trying to do an accent. She wanted to be confused for, she wanted someone to think she was British, that was British. And as soon as she started doing the accent, they were like, you're American, right? And she's like, yes. It was so sad. So cringy. So sad. It's not funny. It's not good. I know they're trying to get them to do it, but yikes. No, yeah, stop.
It was
stop.
Cringy to watch a lot of the antics, but I know they're being like egged on to do some of these things. And I also reminded me where I was just like watching the accents and the twerking and being like, well, this is embarrassing. And I was like, oh, that's right, they are all like 23 to 27. this is an age range in which you can still do very embarrassing cringe things and you don't necessarily know better.
You ever seen that movie Eurotrip?
No.
You never seen Eurotrip?
I know what you're talking about. It's like a National Lampoon, right? Or something like
that. Well, it's more like a, it's more, yeah, it is. But it's more in the style of like a Dude, Where's My Car?
It's like American Pie, yeah.
American Pie, yeah. That's what I was trying to think of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, look, don't you think Katie, Through the Door, was like a Love is Blind ripoff that
oh my God.
Thatcher's trying to have their hands in all pots?
Oh, I had to fast forward that.
That was ridiculous. But also, when Jesse was like, Katie, you're a nurse, so you understand the severity of COVID. And I was like, there are at least three other nurses in this room as well. Yeah,
at least.
So, minimum. I think Kat's a nurse and somebody else, I think. So I was like, I don't know. They're weirdly singling out Katie. So obviously, she's another like favorite front runner. But yeah, Through the Door thing, when she was like, I'm hugging the door frame. And he's like, I am too. And she's like, I can feel it.
It was horrible. It was my absolute nightmare, which is when...
What's your nightmare?
People talking about the date they were just on. And
wait,
this was just them talking... That when, you know, when they're like
at the
evening portion of a date, and they're like, that was the best date ever. And they're like, oh, I loved it when we went on the Ferris wheel, and blah, blah, blah. This was that to the nth degree. It was like, oh, it was so amazing when you said that you liked me. And, oh, I loved it when you said that you liked me. It was horrible.
I didn't hear that.
What on earth are you talking about? That's all it was.
I was just kind of like, they were talking about themselves, but I guess I didn't hear quite like the, you know, self-reference, you know, here's what just happened thing.
I mean, okay, instead of being
the museum date that they found on now, at least a week ago. Yeah, they talked a little bit about their like story, I guess.
Yeah, which is totally stupid.
You knew when you're writing a paper and you really don't want to reference something, but then you have to. They're finally doing their work on The Bachelor and giving us a flashback, even though we just saw it. Like, finally, yeah. Right? How long did it take them?
All the time now.
To bring the Bravo flashback, which seriously takes so little work. And it makes it look so much better. Not that we would forget, but at some points, you need to make sure the audience knows that this happened, especially when they're trying to prove someone wrong. I think it's when it's most effectively used. Okay. I'm glad you mentioned Jesse Palmer. You kind of did because she singled it out. He came up, what, for like a whole 30 seconds on her screen, right? As Chris Harrison would. So I want to tell you guys something that I didn't think we'd have so much content this episode because it was contentless. Chris Harrison this week. I guess.
An update from the most sane and humble
and definitely not bitter at all Chris Harrison podcast.
I'm also just self-centered narcissist.
And the new Victoria Fuller podcast.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess there's some news article this week. This is why this is important. That The Bachelor wants to maybe take him back. Now, right. Everyone knows, like, ever since, you know, I Love Lucy, the show from the 50s, would talk about PR and planted items to kind of like bolster someone's like profile. So if this planted article from, you know, Variety or the Hollywood Report, I don't know what it's from. They just reference it as if it's like taking over the news cycle. There was no train derailment or the earthquake in another. No. The news is Chris Harrison in Chris Harrison's head, right?
So you're telling me that on his podcast, all he talked about was that The Bachelor wants to take him back?
Well, he kind of. He had the other person, who was Tori Spelling this week.
Oh, God.
Ask him, like, can you believe all the news you saw about me coming back to The Bachelor? Like, but at this point, no, ever since PR articles have been planted, everyone knows these are kind of 5D chess, you know, reactions based on reactions. So if we plant this news article, who's going to react to it? Is Chris Harrison going to say he's interested? He said he would take this call if they wanted him back. I think that the only reason I keep talking about the Chris Harrison podcast is because he is not just talking to himself, right? I think he is creating this mass, fake it till you make it machine where he's saying, everyone wants me back. People listen to his podcast and go, yeah, maybe I do want him back. Mm. And so it becomes this kind of like, you fake them out and then you convince them and then you tell everyone that you've convinced them. So you go back to the network with like, look, everyone does want me back because I had this podcast. So it's kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy, positive feedback loop thing going on. that's the only reason I think this is relevant. But here's the issue here. The episode that we just watched was on a scale of 1 to 10. How boring was it, you two? Do you guys think?
So 10 is most boring and 1 is least boring?
Well, I guess the other way around. 10 is very exciting and 1 is very boring.
I don't know, 5.
It was about middle for me as well because even though it was very long and drawn out certain parts and you could tell that they needed to fill time, there were some very funny moments in this one.
I gave it a 2, in addition to last. I mean, honestly, at 9 p.m., when they told us he had COVID, I was like, holy crap, how are they going to like draw this out of like, what are they going to do? This is like too much. I was checked out. But this is kind of what happens is that, you know, Chris Harrison left. It's not boring because he left. It's just bad luck. You know, that's what happens all the time. You break up with your boyfriend, and then your car breaks down, and then your parents die, and then your career is derailed, and you're like, maybe I should get back with my boyfriend. Like, I feel like that's what's happening here. It's just a bad luck, bad coincidence, you know, that's the issue. And so I'm just at a place where I'm thinking, like, is Chris Harrison swooping in at the right time and they might take him back because they are just crazy enough to think that that's the actual issue here. Interesting thing to think.
Okay.
We can move on to Victoria Fuller's podcast.
Well, hold on.
Who listened to it? Uh-huh. Go ahead, Chris Harrison thing, if you have something to say about that.
Let me collect my thoughts here. Mm-hmm. What did he and Tori Spelling talk about? Like, why was she on, of all people?
Just because Lauren Zima wasn't on, or because they're trying to... I mean, they talked about OnlyFans and Tori Spelling possibly doing... I mean, it was just boring crap. They try to do headlines. Then they try to do...
What circumstances do you listen to his podcast? Are you doing dishes? Are you cleaning? Is it on the stereo or do you have it in earbuds?
If it was not for this podcast that we have here, the Bachelor Masters, I would not be listening to this.
Understood.
Uh-huh. But so the level of my interest is only based on that. So I do try to make time and space for it. But
so where is that time and space? I'm just trying to picture
I'm
you listening to this.
I'm not excited for it. Well, I think I was going to the supermarket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Which supermarket do you go to? Do you go to Smart Final or Ralph's?
I go to Whole Foods, Craig. You know, I have kids. I have to worry about them. I think about that all the time. I'm like, I shouldn't be going here, but then I can't have to go here. But then I have to, you know, eat the good food for them and get them organic and da-da-da. Yeah. Anyway, so.
I go to Smart and Final, just so you know.
Great. Awesome.
Because I can walk there.
It's right around the corner from your house. Yeah. I also go to this other supermarket that's right around the corner from my house where I get very specific things from there because they don't sell it at Whole Foods. But anyways. Okay. Anything else about this? About this?
Kaylin, what do you think?
Game of chess they're playing.
I mean, I don't listen to Harrison's podcast because I don't want to put myself through that.
I have this segment, by the way. So no one else has to put themselves through that.
Thank you. I get his point of like, he's making a big deal out of it because it makes him look good either way, right? Whether or not he gets a call to come back. The idea that this story is circulating that they want him makes him look good. So obviously he wants to talk about that. I hope they do not want him back and they do not bring him back because frankly, there's no need. Like Jesse Palmer is exactly the same as Chris Harrison, except that he's never defended racism that we know of. So like, why would you bring back the more problematic older version when you have a guy who does the exact same features with the exact same personality?
Because you need ratings in Mississippi. That's why.
Ugh. All right. We'll send Jesse out to like say something mildly racist, I guess. So. Yeah.
You need a dog whistle for all the racist parts of the country.
Somebody craft a dog whistle statement for Jesse to make so he can keep his job.
Okay. Victoria Fuller. I listened to this. The big takeaway for me was that Greg Grippo was having a drink at 11 a.m. Ooh.
That was something. Did you listen to it, Caitlin?
I did not. Again, I don't really want to put myself through this. And the other podcasts I listened to had alluded to the fact that the whole thing is basically just like her and Greg talking about Greg's haircut or whatever. So
it was listening to two people talk about their relationship, which I hate. And on top of that, it was like, you got Victoria with the vocal fry and you got Greg with the man vocal version fry. Of vocal fry. It was just awful.
Vocal fry aside, it was the culmination of two pretty people with a podcast, which makes zero sense. It's like, All your
No, I think they broadcast to YouTube.
Well, I didn't know that, but still, I'm listening to it on a podcast, and I'm like, dude, the whole point of your existence is to be seen, not heard. These two people are, I mean, they seem to really like each other, but The Bachelor attracts, this podcast, the Victoria Fuller podcast, proves to me that The Bachelor attracts the worst people. And the worst people on this franchise get the best outcomes, right? These two horrible people found each other, much like Dean and Kaylin, by the way. And they're also incredibly stupid, period. You know, no asterisks there. They are not smart people. And they have a podcast. They talk about things that we can't see through the radio, Victoria and Greg. Don't talk about things we can't see. And if you are talking about things that we can't see, describe it.
Yeah.
Caitlin, they played the newlywed game. Do you know what that is?
I do.
Where you have like a piece of paper you hide and then you flip it over and you say what the thing is. I'm just describing it for everybody. They played that as if we can see it.
Why aren't they just making like YouTube videos or TikToks?
Well, that's just it. I think the way my sense is that the way it's set up is they broadcast live to YouTube and then the recording goes up as a podcast.
But they didn't say that. They acted like they were just podcasting.
Well, it's hard. I'll just say this as somebody who has their own podcast. It's difficult to be able to like think to yourself while you're talking, and you know, to be self-aware, that does take some skill to be able to say to yourself, oh, the people listening might not know what this card says, so I better say it out loud, like while you're talking on a podcast. So I can see some kinks need to be worked out still. I'm not trying to defend them.
But okay. Let's just name everything that they did with relation to that rule, the number one rule in radio. I mean, this is not something that I invented. This is something everyone knows, right? They talked about his haircut. They talked about it. They didn't describe it to us. They played the newlywed game. I think they were like looking back at something they were dressed in, or they were looking back at something and they were just talking about it without really telling us like what they were looking at. They did that so throughout the podcast in three different instances that lasted the whole podcast. They referenced things that we couldn't see. Right. And at no time did they say, if you really want to see this, come check out our YYouTube channel.
Right. Well, that's my point, is that takes some self-awareness
that they
don't have.
Okay, well, I don't understand. Then don't make it a podcast, you know? Right. You should at least, this is just, It is something that is, and they had definitely had another person there recording. I mean, they have to.
Yeah, well, they made a big stink out of that it's being produced at some New York studio. There's a name for it that's in their show notes, but I can't remember. But they made a big stink out of it. Like, we're being produced by blah, blah, blah podcasts.
Yeah. Well, they are definitely too good looking
peas
people.
In a pod.
Yeah. No. And they're same kind of people.
No. Greg is a 5 at best, objectively. Objectively.
Caitlin, objectively.
I don't agree with you, Craig. I think he is higher than a 5. He's not a 10 to me.
Thank you.
I think Victoria is possibly one of the most beautiful women who's been on reality TV.
Really?
She's probably a 9 or a 10 on that scale, right? He's below her, but he's not that far below her.
All right, fair enough.
I don't think he's below her, but I don't think their looks match up. Like, they have different kinds of looks. Yeah. I would never expect them to give it. Oh, you know something that Greg did reveal that was actually interesting, that I'm not sure if this is true. I mean, it could not be true, but that they supposedly asked him, who would you want to be the bachelorette during his bachelorette interview? And he said Victoria Fuller way before they met. Who knows if it's true? Who knows?
Interesting.
Who knows if it's true? But she does, to me, she looks like she's like a Pixar Disney princess. That's her look.
Yeah. I can see that. Should we talk about their reviews on the Apple Podcast app?
Ooh,
are they good?
Didn't I send? I sent you one, didn't I?
No,
I don't remember this, Craig. I don't think you did.
I swear, mm-hmm. I sent one over group chat.
Nope. Tell us. Just tell us now.
Well, because Victoria, I got to be very careful here for our Nebraska listeners.
What?
Because
she lived with the murder.
Oh no! No, that's Iowa.
Oh.
Because she's a born again Christian. A lot of the reviews, and I'm not making this up, I'm not hyperbolizing, a fair amount of the reviews are, and this one in particular that I sent you was like, we need more Christians on podcasts. So I give this 5 stars, basically. She's a good Christian. Yeah.
Well, she's calling the congregation to review
she's
her.
A good I mean, Christian.
Yeah.
That's her asking.
Well, I think one of us should come out as born again because it's like an instant audience. And I don't mean to be like flippant about that. No, I mean, I'm serious.
I mean, it's you like... are being flippant about it because it would mean somebody has to convert and publicly advertise that.
You know what? This relationship is weird to me because, again, their looks don't match up. Their likes don't match up. It's kind of a strange matchup.
Yeah, he's not on record on his religious views, is he?
He said on the podcast that they pray together, pray before dinner, and that he grew up Catholic, and he is totally okay. This is probably more or less a quote with Victoria being religious about it.
Totally okay. Yeah, although I would say in her kind of communities, if you're thinking evangelical Christians, being Catholic is not being religious. Like, they don't count anything mm-hmm. but their own. It's like, you know, he might as well be Muslim at this stage if he's Catholic, you know?
Well, he is definitely not was dragged to church on Sundays as a kid Catholic. Right. He is not Catholic.
But they go
so
to
I think his
now.
Stance is yeah. he doesn't mind praying and going to church with her because she's so hot. So
yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say when sex is involved, it's just surprising what a guy will go through. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but so that's confusing, right? There's a lot of things that don't kind of.
Well, yes, because supposedly they're not having sex.
Yes, they are.
She claims she's a born-again virgin, which means she can't have sex with him until they're married. So unless they got secretly married.
No.
Well, they definitely
I don't think she ever said she was a born-again virgin.
She has in other news stories. Maybe it's not in her podcast. I don't know. Maybe she's walked that back, but she has said.
she walked it back in a manner of speaking.
They 100% have had sex. Like they have not said that, but I am saying that.
Yeah, I'm saying
that
too.
They'll leave a review on it being like, I thought she was a born again virgin, but this podcast makes me doubt that. Is she actually a good Christian?
I'm totally going to do that.
You should. But also you should say that, you know, these kinds of people wear me out. That's all I got. That's all I got. This podcast, like he is not a fixture. He's just her first guest. I don't know what she's going to do with this podcast.
Well, today is Tuesday. And it
today's
came out
Tuesday.
It came out last Tuesday. So if they're doing a weekly thing, then we should get another drop today. But
yeah,
you know, it could be that she maybe does like 5 episodes and then never does an episode again. That's what the friend of the pod, Rob, was predicting.
Well, the thing is,
if she's smart, what she would do is lean into that Christian angle, and her next guests would be like Madison Pruitt or Luke P or somebody like that.
Totally.
I don't want to get
Chris
into.
Chris Soules.
Yeah.
Welcome my ex, Chris Soules.
How does it feel to take a life after you?
What's it like to get away with murder? Allegedly.
No, I thought he was convicted.
I think he got convicted of some like ancillary thing.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm trying to help me draw the line of where, because I don't want to go down any kind of rabbit hole of Bachelor podcasts, because they're the only reason this was particularly relevant to me was because they did try to explain away the Johnny cheating, the timeline of how they met and all this stuff, and who cares, right? Like,
yeah,
they cheated or listen, they didn't. Who cares?
We all know it was fuzzy. I don't think there's anything else they can tell us at this point that is, you know, either you think they cheated or you think they didn't.
Right. And they're definitely having sex, or you think they did, or you want to believe that Victoria is some kind of good Christian like she has been her whole life. So this was interesting to me because I want to know why they like each other. And I think it's as basic as Greg thinks she's hot, Victoria thinks he's hot, and they both have they're both equally socially cachet-y in the franchise. They both are kind of villainy, or they're both gray to people, right. You know? And they're relevant enough still because of that whole after the Bachelor Paradise thing.
Right.
The Chris Harrison podcast is interesting because who knows? He could be back because it's crazy enough that it could happen. There's no other podcast I should listen to, though, right? Like, please tell me that the answer to that is no.
Well, you can listen to Vanderpump Rob's.
No. Oh, yeah. No. I'm talking about, yes, of course, our boss. Of course. But I'm talking about Bachelor related and why it's relevant to our personal
podcast. Bachelor Masters is the only podcast people need to listen to because we bring you all of the info.
Right. But is there anything I should listen to so I could bring that info here to everyone else?
Okay. No. I don't know, because the ones that I listen to, I mostly listen to either because I enjoy their style and the things that they talk about, which there are a few that I'm like, oh, I find them fun. I like them. Right. There's one that I listen to where I'm always like, I think that everything they say is wrong, and I don't know why I hate listen to this
one. Please tell us. What it is.
Oh, it's like the Ringers version. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it's called again. But they put out an episode the night that the episode airs. So sometimes after I watch, I'll like go over there and just be like, what did they think? And then every single time I'll be like, they'll say something. Yeah, it's called Bachelor Party and it's the Ringers one. They'll often have some take where I'm just like, what? Why
is it?
Why? Yeah, I stopped listening to that years ago.
Oh, right. Craig got me to listen to one and they just say
like,
it's so well, hard to
that's
listen
not
to.
What bothers me. It's more like that they'll like defend people that I'm like, I don't think that person's right or things like that. That I'll just be like, you're annoying me. But the ones I actually enjoy listening to, do you want me to say their names?
Sure. Well, tell me if they're relevant. I think I do. Kind of, but I also want to know, like, is there any relevance to me listening to other, and this is only Bachelor people specific, mm-hmm. because you're getting their point of view. Like Kaylin Bristow, she is no longer relevant to the franchise at all. She's basically married again, right? Like she's coupled up. There's nothing there. You know, there's something there with Victoria and Greg because they're I feel like they're hot and heavy. but it could fizzle out.
Is that a Seinfeld reference?
Yeah.
Well, I don't listen to any of the ones that are actually like Bachelor people on them generally.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Just because they're not interesting at all.
Not even the Bachelor sanctioned ones like the Brian and Michael one?
No.
Or what's the other side of that?
One of the podcasts Tayshia I listen to will share any interesting bits from those. Game of Roses will summarize those for you.
Hey, they're our competition. Careful.
Listen, they do a different thing than what we do.
Yeah, I know.
So it's different, but yeah, they have one show where they'll summarize like those specific player kind of podcasts. So I'm like, well, I just listen to them talking about it, so I don't need to listen to the thing.
Right. Well, I mean, because this happened in the Bachelor in Paradise season, the Victoria Greg thing, I found that relevant. Ish, because 1 year passes and I am so done with any past stories. I don't care who married who's divorcing who, whatever. So I found this particularly relevant, but then I kind of thinking like, is this a tipping point for me where I'm gonna go all in and listen to these horrible people's horrible thinking things they're thinking?
You can go in there if you want. I don't think it's totally necessary. I like listening to podcasts, so I tend to listen to a bunch of them, like why I do other stuff. Sometimes when I'm grading papers or whatever, I'll listen to podcasts. So it's kind of like I'm not paying full attention. It's just to have something on. But there was an interesting bit of news. So Rachel Recchia is getting a breast reduction. This came out.
And Bachelorette Rachel.
Bachelorette Rachel. I found this really interesting because I think it explained a lot about the way that she was being dressed during her season. Like, we always knew she was busty, obviously, but now we know that she also does not like that bustiness about herself. So that explains a lot with, like, the somewhat dowdy tops are probably things where she was trying to hide.
Well, does not like, but maybe something is happening where she's more than just uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think she said that, like, it's something that she hasn't been comfortable with for a while, and she's decided to just, you know, take this step finally. And I'm like, you go for it, because I know also as a busty woman, like, that I'm like, your back will hurt, you know, it's hard to wear
certain types of clothes.
Yeah, you have to wear, like, two sports bras when you're running. So I'm just like, yeah, there's all these annoyances involved in it that can, like, make your body hurt as well. So I feel like if your insurance is approving you for it, you don't like it about your body, go for it, you know, like, be more comfortable in yourself with, like, your smaller bust line.
Right.
Okay, so... I don't know how we got on that.
Bottom line, leave us a review on the Apple Podcast.
Bottom line.
Yeah. Oh, we should talk about the Zoom rose ceremony.
Oh.
Okay. Last
did they manage to go through the entire pandemic without having to do any of this?
Yes. And it's fascinating that this is the time that both somebody got COVID and it actually impacted the show significantly because it was the lead. And so they had to come up with something, and the something was virtual cocktail party where they each get iPad time with him, and then the rose ceremony, which made me laugh. I was like, this is a conference room TV from, like, a hotel conference room.
Yeah.
And they've put a little basket of roses in front of it, and when he calls the woman's name, they go up and they take their own rose out of the basket. And I was really hoping that they were going to have, like, Jesse step in for him, and Jesse hands out the roses, and right. Or Jesse wears the the iPad in front of his face and just reenacts that he's Zach.
I feel like we saw something like that. No, it was something. It must have been a dream I had.
There's an Arrested Development bit about this when the father's in prison and he has, like, a surrogate that's, like, somebody who's on a video feed.
Well, I feel for either Kat or Katie. I don't know which one it was, but. She was like, oh, there's no window to see yourself in the iPad.
Oh, a lot of them brought that up, actually.
Would be totally distracting. Like, I agree with that. Not to be vain, but to not see yourself when you're talking would be really weird.
Yeah, I think whoever set up the iPad, whichever producers, they turned on some feature where you, like, hide your own
thing. Just to fuck with them.
They must have done it just to, like, mess with them because... I mean, what's the other purpose? Like, it would be so easy to just, it's a tiny little box whenever you're looking at it or whatever. But yeah, a bunch of the women brought it up that they were like, oh, I can't see myself. Can you see me on here?
Yeah.
You
know?
Yes, which I thought was funny. I also laughed really hard at Charity was the first one. And she didn't know that you could pick up the iPad at the beginning. So she thought she just had to, like, sit next to it on the couch, and, like, lean over.
That's funny.
Zach was like, you could pick up the iPad. So, like, there were lots of very funny Zoom moments in this for me. Like, a cringiest moment, obviously, was when, was it him and Katie kissing? Was that Kat? It was Kat. Kat was like, kiss me through the thing. And they kissed the screens, apparently.
Ew.
Yes. And I was like, gross. No. As a person who's been in long distance relationships, you never sank to that level before. So that stuff. And then, yeah, the rose ceremony itself was just very funny because it looked so ridiculous. And they're, like, in their tiny hotel room with their little conferenced in Zach. And when he says Katie's name, she's like, did he say my name? And I was like, oh my God, they can't even hear him.
Well, we don't know where they go next because the previews were not for next week, but for, you know, coming up on the rest of the season.
And there's some drama. that will happen.
Drama? No.
Things will be dramatic on this season. So,
you don't say.
There's some interesting moments, it looks like, based on what they gave us there. Yeah, I don't know. Are they staying in London for another episode? Or are they going somewhere else? I was also confused.
Sure, they're going somewhere else.
I'm like, they must be, or otherwise they wouldn't have forced this Zoom rose ceremony if they could just have done it in a few days when they were still in London. So a lot of the conversations I was seeing online when people were like, okay, he got COVID, we understand, like, obviously there's nothing you can really do about that other than like he has to be separate until he's testing negative, you know. But why didn't they just do, like, we've seen in past seasons that they have had many episodes that don't end in a rose ceremony because they're like, here's some other drama. And they're like, you could have done something like that. And they chose not to.
Yeah, they've had episodes where they say, oh, the lead doesn't want to cut anyone, so we're going to keep it like it is. That's happened before.
Yeah, so like there are multiple options for things they could have done here.
To be like super fair though, it was definitely time for Kylie to go. She's not interested in him.
I think the women that were cut, it was like Mercedes was barely shown on this show and Kylie was shown because she got the drama, but you know, they weren't into each other, so it made sense. It wasn't like unfair to those women, I don't think. It's more like what would be a more entertaining television experience.
Yeah.
They should have had Zach do one of those filters where like he looks like a potato or a cat or something, you know. Really hammer into the early pandemic comedy.
Yeah.
That guy anyway.
The lawyer cat.
The lawyer cat. No, I was thinking of the guy who like accidentally was naked and something. Anyway, horrible, horrible Zoom. I think it was actual sexual harassment.
Yeah, it was. And then like he kept his job and it was somehow totally fine.
I didn't hear part two.
No, if it's the same one that I'm thinking of, it was the guy who was like jerking off on a web. And then they were like, wow, that was crazy. Anyway,
well, he said it was performance art. No, he did.
His first defense was that he was doing like something else. And it was like, yeah, we know you were doing something else. That's the issue. Like,
you know, that's funny because iHeart Media, the company, wouldn't let Chris Harrison this week. They bleeped it out just because you said that. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we have to have a. And because we've been saying words all, we've been saying certain words all
episode. We're
going
to have an explicit tag.
We have to, which is totally fine. But I think we should have had it like two episodes ago too, where I forget what we said. But anyway, iHeartMedia, I think purposefully bleeped out him and Tori Spelling going back and forth saying an alternative word for vagina. I think it was that word. Or maybe it was an alternative word for sex toy.
Like Tia's China pot euphemism
for it. Oh, I forgot about that.
Because I think that's safe to say without an explicit tag.
No, it was some kind of cutesy word for something that no one knows. Like, I didn't watch 90210. Did you watch 90210, Greg?
I sure. did.
Yeah.
You did?
I mean, I wasn't like obsessed with
yes,
it.
Yes, I loved it.
Whoa, I was not. It was just not like whenever it was on, I was not in the age that I needed to be. I was more of a WB kid.
Yeah, you know? I was too young for it when it was first on, but I watched episodes here and there, and then like 6 years ago I watched it.
I see. You rewatched
like all the way through and was like, love this.
Whoa. Well, I get it. I don't want to but it was so stupid. Like again, the word charmless comes out and I feel like this makes him look so bad, but I'm living in wacky cuckoo world where he's getting ahead by having a podcast. And I'm like, woof, glad he's off The Bachelor. I don't have to watch him every week. So we're all I'm way off, I guess, because I don't think they're considering him bringing him back. But I think, like I said, he's creating his own hype, as you should on the internet. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's what you have to do.
You do.
You have to create your own hype.
Yeah. And so through this, he thinks he's, and I, like I said last week, Caitlin, you weren't here. So I want to say it again. I think he's also hiding all his own hype that he's creating from Lauren Zima to make himself more attractive to her. Mm. Because there's no way but Caitlin, Lauren Zima is our age. Chris Harrison is 50 something. Nothing to do with age per se, but look at him. He is so boring and ugh. Mm. Would you be interested in that man? That man, not a 50-year-old, that man.
No, and I assume the only reason she was he was the host of The Bachelor.
Exactly. I think we all thought that. And there would be a million reasons to break up with him, and she didn't take any of them.
Right.
She left her.
It makes her look bad, I think, to a certain extent, to leave him because he's no longer in the position of, like, power that she
found. Well, she could break up with him now.
She could break up with him now, and she could have broke up with him over the racist stuff pretty
easily. Exactly. That's exactly what
she could have been like, it's not that he lost his job, it's that he was defending these things publicly, and I just don't agree with them. We're not compatible, you know?
Right. I think he has some weird, like I said, like Bachelor people going on. He has some weird overlordy power over them. Like, look, I'm still me. Like, he definitely.
Well, isn't it like the rumor that he knows all of these secrets about, like, the production and, like, Mike Fleiss or whatever and all these other people, and that's why he got such a huge payout when he left?
Yeah. Well, then in that case, he has no power because his NDA, holds him to it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's all.
Right. Okay. Well, anything else? No?
I have one fashion moment. I guess outside of the fashion that we've already talked about. But I noticed at the rose ceremony in the hotel room that the dress that Jess was wearing, I actually tried on that exact dress to potentially wear to our superfan Jocelyn's wedding.
Oh, really?
And chose not to buy it because I was like, not for me. But she had the exact same problem that I did in it, which is if you are a shorter person, the dress is supposed to, like, it's kind of asymmetrical. It's got, like, a one shoulder strap, and then hem is, like, up to your knee on one side and around your ankle on the other side. But if you're short, it just is, like, too long on your body, so it looks a little weird, and she is also short.
I see.
So I was like, yes, that's one of the reasons I didn't buy that one.
Cool. Good crossover with our podcast. Buying dresses. What store?
Oh, so I tried it on at Anthropologie, but they also have it at, like, Nordstrom and stuff. The designer is Norma Kamali.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay. Leave us a review, please, and follow us on social media, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.